Johnny. Happy to be back on.
Hey, Eric, first of all, let's look at the magnitude of what this game means. The fact that the Titans get that win in the opening week against the Cleveland Browns, if they beat the Colts, that means they'll be two games up on the Colts, and they will also be two games up on the loser of that Houston-Jacksonville game. Right. Not a bad way to start 2019 if you're in that situation.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring that up because Eddie George was at the Titans facility yesterday, gave like a 9-minute pep talk to the team after yesterday's practice, and he basically said he spelled that out for them, that this game, he called it more important than a playoff game for the Titans because it can represent sort of the shifting of power in this conference. It has the potential to do that if you're the Titans. You know, for the reasons that you mentioned, if you win this game, you're two up on the Colts and two up on either the Jaguars or the Texans, whoever loses that game. You really kind of seize the momentum in the conference division. And then you kind of just look at the fact that, you know, this is a team that has not started 2-0 often since they've been the Tennessee Titans just twice since 1999. Have they started 2-0? And Eddie George, you know, pretty much said, take this game personal. Everything on the line in this game sort of makes it what it is, and that's just a really important game. You know, not just a week two game, but sort of just in the scope of their season, what they're trying to do, and kind of just going forward as far as what the Tennessee Titans are. You know, this perennially underrated team. This is a chance to sort of change that. George spelled that out to the Titans, and I think, you know, he's right just as far as the long-term, at least the season ramifications of what this game can have. And, you know, not to mention it's the Colts, a team that recently they've just had almost no success against. So for a lot of reasons, there's just a lot on the line this Sunday against the Colts.
I mean, here's the thing. We look at the results from week one, and I look at the Colts. You never want to, quote-unquote, find any silver linings in a loss. I mean, it's a loss. But the fact the matter is, the Colts, I thought, played extremely well against the Los Angeles Chargers in that first game, losing in overtime the way they did. And to me, it's still, you know, not to take away from the Titans' win over Cleveland, but I think that 30-point victory, that margin is the part that's very misleading. This was a two-point game in the waning moments of the third quarter, and the fact that Cleveland helped on one of the drives by just giving them penalties left and right, 18 penalties for 182 yards, you know, it would be very easy to get caught up in just that final score and not really dissect the game. I mean, not to take away, from, like I said, from the Titans' win, but at the same time, you don't want to see just the final score and put yourself on this stage that you didn't quite live up to just yet, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree. There was a couple, you know, big plays toward the end of that game that helped sort of skew the score and made it a 30-point game. It was closer than that, you know, for the majority of that game. And yeah, you know, I agree. The Titans absolutely won that game. It's not like the Browns, you know, lost it per se, but 18 penalties for 180-plus yards, you know, does a lot to sort of help you there. And then, you know, on the other side, I think the Colts, you know, they were – a lot of people saw them as Super Bowl contenders with Andrew Luck. And, you know, you take him out of the equation, and obviously that's a drastic change for them. But it doesn't mean that they're, you know, suddenly not a good team. They have, you know, as we saw against the Chargers, another team that a lot of people, you know, see as Super Bowl contending. They played really well. You know, started with that really good offensive line. Marlon Mack was pretty much unstoppable in that game. I think he finished with like 7 yards per carry. You know, went for 174 rushing yards, leads the league in that category after 1 week. Jacoby Brissett was really solid. You know, 21 of 27, played mistake free, threw a couple touchdown passes, including one to T.Y. Hilton with under a minute to go to force overtime. So, you know, and they were down in that game, you know, two scores at halftime, you know, in San Diego, a lot of resiliency there to sort of fight back the way they did. And they would have won that game, honestly, if, you know, their Hall of Fame kicker didn't miss, I think it was 2 of 3 field goals, plus an extra point, which was obviously very uncharacteristic of Adam Vinatieri. You know, so a couple things break right for the Colts, you know, as they were probably expecting, and they win that game. And then, you know, I think the tone of this one is a little bit different. Instead, you know, I think some people are still sleeping on the Colts, you know, after in light of the Andrew Luck news. And, you know, I think that's a mistake. I think this is going to be a really close game for the Titans. It always is against the Colts. You know, as I mentioned, you know, just going back, you know, in a decade, they've really struggled against this team. And, yeah, they're missing their star quarterback. But, you know, they're a really sound team. Even beside that, and as I mentioned, Jacoby Brissett looked really good against the Chargers. So I think it's going to be a really tough game for them. But you know, I think that all of that sort of amounts to just raises the stakes as far as if you're able to get this win, you set the tone in the division, and you kind of put the rest of the NFL on notice.
I mean, a couple other parts too. You bring up Marlon Mack's name, who right now leads all of the NFL rushers. You know, as far as just counting Week One, he had with the 174 yards. But he also had a big game, if you recall, back on December 30th, too. I mean, he rushed for 119 yards, averaged almost 5 yards per carry on 25 attempts. And one of the things that we can always seem to count on by the Colts when they play the Titans is the fact that you know anticipate some big plays from the tight ends. The tight ends always seem to have pretty good games, whether you're talking about Jack Doyle or Eric Ebron. And that's another factor and another thing that this defense has to worry about. Now, I will say this about the Titans defense last year, if you recall, no Jarrell Casey, and certainly right. That's a difference maker. But nevertheless, it's still something that the Titans are going to have to deal with, you know, with the T.Y. Hilton as far as breaking deep, you know, the tight ends that we just brought up, and also the balance as far as what they can do with the running game. It's not going to be an easy task for the Titans defense to quote-unquote stop this Colts offense on Sunday.
Yeah, it's not, and that was the first point that I was going to bring up, is just the fact that Jarrell Casey will be on the field this time where he wasn't, you know, on December 30th when they lost that game, and that does make a world of a difference, you know, as far as just that defensive front and having the four-time Pro Bowler sort of anchoring that unit. It does, you know, change the complexion of the Titans defense, and yeah, you know, I agree. You know, I think the Titans defense, we got a glimpse of how good they could be last week, you know, going against a Browns offense loaded with playmakers. You know, Nick Chubb had 74 rushing yards against the Titans, but it was an awfully quiet 74 rushing yards. So they really needed a performance like that against Marlon Mack, who so far has looked, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the leading rusher in the league right now. And then all those offensive weapons, the Colts with their tight ends, as you mentioned last year, like Luck was throwing touchdowns to tight ends multiple times a week, and that was a big part of their offense last year. But, you know, I just think the Titans, if they can get the pass rush that they got last week, and honestly for the first couple of series, that their pass rush was non-existent, and then it kind of came to life as the game went on. Cam Wake was super efficient with his playing time, you know, really didn't play. I think it was more than 30, a third of the defensive snaps, but obviously made the most of those with 2.5 sacks, 4 quarterback hurries. You know, Harold Landry from a statistical standpoint, you know, didn't really show up much on the stat sheet, but he was disruptive as well. If you could get those two guys going, if you could disrupt Brissett, you know, I think it all starts there. And then obviously a huge part of this game is going to be containing Marlon Mack, you know, as they did Nick Chubb last week. And I think, you know, just if there's one thing you could be hopeful for with this Titans team, if it's not special teams with Brett Kern, you know, booting 70-yard bombs and Cairo Santos, you know, continuing to look really sharp as a replacement for Ryan Suckup, it's this defense coming through. You know, like it did last year, and you know, so far, all the signs point to this being, or being capable of being a top 5 defensive unit. You know, I think the pass rush continuing to be as good as it was against the Browns is really the key to that. But it'll really get a good test this week as far as trying to stop the run.
Yeah, a couple of areas that I think that are huge, you know, and we always talk about turnover margin, and especially if you're a road team like Indianapolis, you want to be able to beat out the Titans in that particular stat. The other thing is also getting pressure on the quarterbacks. In week one, the Titans were able to do that against Baker Mayfield. The same thing applied with the fact that the Colts defense was able to apply pressure to Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. And we look back to, however, Marcus Mariota last week sacked four times by Cleveland. Can Marcus Mariota, you know, if he's your quote-unquote franchise quarterback, he has to be able to, on a consistent basis, put together, you know, back-to-back games, especially if you're hosting a opponent like Indianapolis at home, knowing how important this game is. Is something else to watch out for on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. He's got to start stringing together good games, and, you know, it's hard to sort of argue with his second half against the Browns, you know, 6 of 6, 3 touchdown passes. You know, he looked pretty good. To me, he didn't really look like he was, you know, slinging them in there, didn't really thread the needle on any passes. But what he did well was, you know, just put his playmakers in position to sort of, you know, flaunt their ability with A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry on that screen pass. You know, we just saw a lot of that, Delanie Walker. And so, you know, that's what Mariota can be for this offense, just sort of, you know, this facilitator. And, as, you know, as long as he's not mistake-free, when Derrick Henry's doing well, running well, when the defense is playing well, he doesn't have to throw for, you know, 350 yards. Obviously, you would like him to, you know, approach that a couple times, but, you know, him just throwing 3 touchdown passes, something he hadn't done in a couple years, no turnovers is obviously huge. I think all of that, you know, might not be, you know, or put him in that conversation of being an elite quarterback, but it's what the Titans need, just given the makeup of their team. And so if he could put another performance like that together, I think that's, you know, that would be an important step in sort of getting the better of the Colts. And, you know, I think, again, as you kind of alluded to, you know, the offensive line was pretty good against the Browns, despite allowing those 4 sacks. I think especially pretty good going against that Browns defensive front, and the fact that you're missing Taylor Lewan and starting right guard Kevin Pomfield. But that's another question this week. Can they, you know, do it again and be consistent again, or consistent enough that it's not this overwhelming problem as it was so often last year? You know, I think that's going to continue to be something to watch as long as Taylor Lewan is out, which is, you know, another 3 weeks now. And as long as Pomfield is not the starting right guard, although Jahmyr Douglas, you got to give him some credit for looking as good as he did as the backup against the Browns last week as the starting right guard.
Eric Bacharach with the Tennessee. And the other thing, yeah, and I know Corey Davis looked good on the block with Derrick Henry's, you know, taking it to the house on that screen pass. But, you know, I'm just looking at Hilton's numbers as a number one receiver for the Colts, 8 catches, 87 yards. And that's but he did score 2 touchdowns. At some point or another, Corey Davis is going to have to produce like a quote unquote fifth overall number one pick. And I mean, yeah. I mean, it's great that the Titans didn't need those numbers and that kind of impact last week against the Cleveland Browns, but eventually no production like that is going to come back and bite you.
I agree. And it is great to see him, you know, blocking on all the way downfield on that Derrick Henry 75-yard touchdown run, and kind of what he said afterwards, you know, just in relation to the fact that he didn't have a catch. You know, he just kind of pointed out that they got the win, and that's what's important, because, you know, in this era where you've got Antonio, you know, the Antonio Browns of the world, just all these diva wide receivers, it is a breath of fresh air. But as you mentioned, you know, I think the most astounding thing to come out of Week one was just the fact that the Titans put up 43 points, won by 30, and Adam Humphries and Corey Davis, your top two receivers, combined for 1 catch for 5 yards. You know, if you told me that was going to be the production before the game, I would have said no way they're winning this game against a really strong Browns offense. But lo and behold, they didn't need that from their top two guys. But I agree. You know, I think this is an offense where you do have a lot of weapons now, where you don't need Corey Davis to put up 100 receiving yards every game. But, you know, I do think his floor should be obviously less than or more than no catches. I think it should be, you know, somewhere around 50 yards as far as the minimum you want to get from him every week production-wise. And, you know, you would expect to see Adam Humphries deliver a little bit more too, just sort of with how, you know, he was advertised and how he was brought in here to be the slot weapon for the Titans that they didn't have last year. But, you know, we saw them put up 43 points and get production elsewhere from Delanie Walker, from A.J. Brown, from Derrick Henry. So I think this is an offense where, you know, every week it's going to be somebody else kind of stealing the show, so to speak, as an offensive performer. I just think it's key that when that happens, you know, let's say it's Derrick Henry or Delanie Walker or A.J. Brown tonight, you know, Derek or Corey Davis doesn't completely disappear on the stat sheet. You still need some production from him as well as Adam Humphries.